Welcome to the Peckway Church Podcast. We're glad you're here. At Peckway, our mission is to transform lives by connecting people with God and with each other. It's our hope that this message will give you hope and encourage you to take the next step in your journey with Christ. For more information about our services and weekly ministries, visit us at peckwaychurch.com.
Stand as we begin worship today. Let's celebrate our Lord and Savior here in this place this morning. Sing though with me. Bow down to your love, that we would see like never before. Is that our prayer this morning? Oh, yeah. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. Sing it out, all we want. Him. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So great to see you here this morning. Thanks for being here with us at Peckway Church. My name is Scott Munson. I'm the worship pastor here. And thank you so much for singing out today and singing that hope that we have in Jesus, that everything we need can be found
and him. Inside of your bulletin is a gray connection card. I'm going to invite you to take that out here, those in person. Online, you're going to find a connect link in your chat window. If you'll click on that, that's our digital connection card. But we simply ask everyone to fill this out every week, no matter if you've been here many, many times or if this is your first time here with us today. So take a moment, do that. You can drop this card in person in the back. There's a gray box to go with the gray card. Make it simple for us. You could drop that there on the way out. And of course, you just hit that send button, submit it to us, and we'll be able to connect that way. On the back of the card are some places there. If you have questions about Peckway Church, we would love to be able to answer those for you. Maybe you want to know about Bible studies we have, things in that nature. That's how you do that. That's how we can let you know about those kinds of things. You could do that online as well. And then, of course, there's that place in the box there. You can write your prayer request. We love being able to pray along with you about the things that are going on in your hearts and lives. We don't share that with anyone. It's our staff or some committed folks that pray along with us. So you get to choose on that. But thank you for trusting us to be able to do that along with you. Also, if you're a first-time guest, somewhere is my cell phone, but that's okay. I would pull out my cell phone, but you know what a cell phone is. But you can text that word, hello. You see it on your screens there to 717-872-5679. So just put that in there, send it over to us, and then we can connect via text. And I would love to be able to reach out with you and say hello and thank you for being here today. Well, we are continuing our sermon series. We are talking about our unchanging God. And, you know, as we came on the heels of the other series talking about how God is our faithful Father, now we can see how He's never changing. He's so trustworthy. And, you know, God is the same always. He never changes, and He's always good. He's always loving and always all-powerful. And no matter how the world changes around us, we can trust that God is consistent. And He tells us in His Word that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to invite us all to say that together this morning. So would you say it with me? It's on the screen there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we find that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8.
Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Father, He's friend, He's Savior, and He is Lamb. If He did it before, He will do it again. You see, He's the same God who carved out a path in the ocean, who constantly makes ways in impossible situations. He is the God who calmed a storm with a word and healed a leper who was simply reaching out. We serve the same God of Abraham, David, Mary, and Paul, choosing the unqualified, broken people, yet working through them all. You see, we serve a living, active God, an unchanging God, a God who is constantly welcoming the prodigals back home. You see, if He did it before, I'm telling you, He will do it again. If He answered prayers from back then, He will answer prayers now. If He came in power back then, He will come in power now. He is the God who sees, and He sees you right now. So when it feels like everything is shaking, I want you to remember, He is secure. He is steady. He is unchanging and everlasting. He is the same God.
Would you stand as we sing together this morning? I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that You will keep Your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses,
the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Yeah. Oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing.
Prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power.
You are the Savior.
standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in.
Verse again.
You are here, you're moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're working in this place. I worship you, I worship.
He's the way maker.
Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Sing it in belief this morning.
Way maker, miracle worker, his promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you,
yes I do,
I worship you. And you are here, turning lives up. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart.
That's right, y'all.
I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Darkness,
my
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
He's making a way for us this morning. Sing it again to him.
Waymaker, miracle worker, he's promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Even when we can't see it, he's doing it.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Come on.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
No, you don't.
You never stop, no, you never stop working. When I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, oh, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, oh, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yes, you are. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Darkness, my God, that is who you are.
One more time.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
And that is who he is today. He's here making a way for us because he's never changing. We can depend on him and we can see him working. There's many, many ways that he is speaking to us, not only in this very moment, but in every day. If we will just listen and be still, be quiet, and let him speak to us. Would you bow with me as we pray to him this morning? God, we are so grateful that you are the way maker. God, that we have the promises that you have made, that we can look back. We've sang about it this morning, how you've shown yourself true to Jacob, to Moses, to Abraham, to Mary, to David, and the list goes on and on. And then to this very moment in time, God, the people that you put around us, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, Lord, are orchestrated by you to show us who you are. And God, how you're making a way. God, I pray that you would help us to be aware, help us to be sensitive to you, to see, God, how you're working in our lives. And God, that you're true, that we can depend on you. So for those who might be struggling today, God, that they don't know you, they don't have that relationship, God, would you make yourself so real today, so tangible, that they would taste and see and hear and know that you are good, God. Lord, that as we walk through your word today, God, that we will see the evidence of your touch, Father, in our lives every day. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Penalty early on could be very costly because instead of punting from deep in their own territory, they're already at the midfield right now.
Yeah, and that's just that quick throw. Again, it's not a three-step drop. You just... Dad, what are you doing? I'm watching this.
Genesis 6:14. Gen 6:14.
Joan, do we have a Bible anywhere?
Genesis 6:14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Gopher wood.
Gopher wood. Get it?
Go.
Well, it's not really gopher wood. I just like the wordplay. No, it's pine and maple that was clear cut from this valley to make room for all those houses.
Excuse me, do I know you?
Not as well as I'd like. I see you got my housewarming gift.
That was you? You sent those? What are they for? Hey, hey.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. I want you to build an ark.
You want me to build an ark?
Yes.
So that's why the tools, and you are responsible for the wood?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's just start over. Ha-ha! Hello, I am Evan Baxter.
Baxter, born June 15th, 1962, 8 pounds, 11 ounces. Mother's Carol Ann Parker, father Eugene Evan Baxter.
Ooh, you have internet access, very impressive. Do you also have cable?
You're a clean freak. You care much too much about your outward appearance. Your left nipple is a quarter inch higher than your right nipple, and when you were a little boy, you were afraid of Gumby.
Who are you?
I'm God.
You're God?
Yes. And I want you, Evan Baxter, to build an ark.
Okay, you know what? This conversation is a little thing I like to call over. But I gotta get going, because frankly, I have an ark to build. Busy, 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 busy. Nice meeting you. Take care. Oh, and... all right, see you later.
Shake it off, Evan. It's over. The nutcase is gone.
I am successful, I'm powerful, I'm handsome, I'm happy. Successful, powerful, handsome, Evan! Oh!
Get it out, son. It's the beginning of wisdom.
How did you get in here? Ah, call the cops.
Oh, no, no need. Look, look, there's one right there. Right there.
Officer! 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 Carjacker! Carjacker in the car! Carjacker in the car!
Oh! Oh!
Careful pulling out. Pedestrian in the crosswalk.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
One of us not said or felt it sometime, it goes something like this. If I knew God's will for my life, I would do it. If I knew God's will for my life, I will do it. But then we often go on to say something like this, but I don't have that sort of guidance. I don't hear God speak in voices like that. Sure, he led people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He spoke to them and he led to them. But that was then and this is now, and it doesn't happen for me today. And so we watch a clip like that and we wish, if only God would be that clear with us. And that's why we're in this series I've been calling Unchanging God, because what we began looking at, and Scott's been sharing with you all morning, is that the God of the Bible is an unchanging God. For Malachi 3:6 says this, God is speaking, he says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." That's God's own definition of himself. He says, "I'm unchanging." And as a result of that, we began last week looking at the reality that the same God that led the children of Israel not only out of Egypt, but through the Red Sea when they were trapped between not only the Egyptian army but the sea, that same God who rescued them, we said last week, can rescue us. And today, in that same vein, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the same God that led them out of Egypt and led them to the promised land, the plan for his life, that same God can lead us in the same way. Now, that's the assertion. You decide whether I make the case or not, but here's where I want to begin this morning. If you'll take out your message notes, if you'll turn open your Bible to Exodus chapter 13, here's the background as you do that. The background of the scene we're going to look at today from the history of Israel. It's a scene that God has just liberated his people, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, from slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And now, for the very first time, this massive group of people, some scholars would say as many as 2 million, were free for the very first time in 430 years. Where were they to go? What were they to do? The reality is God was not about to liberate his people and then abandon his people. So what we're going to look at is God, in a very dramatic and very direct way, began to lead the children of Israel. For here's what we read at the very end of Exodus chapter 13. The last two verses of Exodus chapter 13, we read this. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night, and the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. And what I want you to know about that, and we're going to look at it in just a second, is that leadership by God, that direct, clear leadership by God, left the nations, not only the Egyptians, but the people in the promised land. It filled them with awe. It filled them with amazement. Because take a look at what Moses later says. He's talking to God, and he says this: the inhabitants of this land, speaking of the promised land, have already heard that you live among your people. They know, Lord, that you have appeared to your people face to face, and that your pillar of cloud hovers over them. They know that you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of cloud by night. So it amazed the people. It left them awestruck. But it wasn't just impressive and awe-inspiring for the inhabitants of the promised land. It was equally inspiring, awe-inspiring for the children of Israel. Because I say that because over 1,000 years after the Exodus happened, a prophet by the name of Nehemiah is praying, and he says this to God. He says, "You led our ancestors by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night so they could find their way." In other words, he's praising God for his direct and clear leadership, which is why during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is one of the many annual feasts for the people of Israel, they would light menorahs. It looks something like this. If you don't know what a menorah looks like, this is actually there in the city of Jerusalem. But they would light them to really just commemorate God's leadership of the people of Israel. But what I want us to understand about this pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night, God didn't just use it to lead the people. He also used it to communicate to the people, specifically and especially the pillar of cloud. Take a look at the next verse on your outline. It says this: it was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. And then everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, I want you to really focus in on just that last phrase. In fact, all of the verses we just looked at. And I just want to ask you this question. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have that sort of clear and direct leadership and access to God? Can you imagine what it was like? And if you can imagine that, then here's what I want to say to you. And this might be, I might spend the rest of the morning trying to prove this to you, but folks, here's what I want to say. Because we have an unchanging God, your God, our God, stands ready to do that very thing for you just as clearly, just as definitively as he did the Israelites. But I know I need to make my case because some of you in your mind are arguing with me, perhaps, or at least challenging me, and you're saying something like this: Jerry, if that's true, then why in the world, if we have that kind of clear and direct access and leadership from God, then why in the world don't I have a pillar of cloud leading me by day? Wouldn't that be nice? And why, when I pray, doesn't one hover in front of my house when I'm on my knees? And so, Jerry, nice try, but we don't have that same leadership and access to God today. Now, I know that's what some of you are thinking. At least that's what some of you would like to say to me. But let me just say this to you. But what if? What if we do have that kind of direct and clear access and leadership from God? The only difference is God is using different pillars today. Specifically, five different pillars. But with those pillars, what I want us to understand is God is ready and is able to lead us just as clearly and just as definitively as he did the Israelites in the Exodus for all those number of years, or at least he wants to. He stands ready, but it depends on us whether we let God, whether we're receptive and obedient to that leadership. So for the sake of argument, maybe you're asking, so okay, Jerry, what are the pillars? How does God lead us today? If he doesn't use clouds and fire, how does God lead us today? And I want to suggest to you five pillars, present-day pillars that God used to lead you and lead me. And I just want to say, just let us slow down long enough to say to you, please take notes on this, because if there's one question I've been asked more than any other over the 30 years of ministry, it's this: how does God lead me? How do I know what God's will is for my life? And so I'm going to share with you how I believe God leads us, how God directs us today. And I want you to retain it, because I promise you, if you will embrace these pillars and believe these pillars and follow these pillars, God will give you direction for your life. So here's the first pillar. The first pillar is the pillar of Scripture. The pillar of Scripture. Because here's what we need to understand. Today, we don't have to, like the children of Israel in the Exodus, we don't have to, if we want to get guidance from God, if we want to inquire of God, if we want to make a request of God, we don't have to go and stand outside a temple or a church or a tabernacle. Instead, we simply need to go to God's Word and read what God has already said about the subject. Because God's Word is God's revelation to us. And please let me define that word for you, because the word revelation, our word revelation, comes from a Latin which literally means to draw back the curtain. It's a theater term. And we understand the picture, right? Because if the curtain is drawn, we can't see what's happening on the platform, on the stage. But when it's drawn back, we can see and perhaps even understand the action. And so as Christians, what we believe, what theologians teach, what the Bible teaches us is simply this, that we believe God reveals truths about himself, about life, how we are to live, how we are to treat one another, how we are to relate to him through his word. And he does it in ways that the only way we can know it is because God reveals it to us. We can't stumble upon it. We can't figure it out ourselves. God simply reveals those truths about himself and about life and how we're to live, because it's revelation. God's word is revelation. Now, I want you to notice the next verse in your outline, because here's what the psalmist said. Thousands of years after this event, here's what the psalmist said. He said, "The Lord said, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." And here's the reason I wanted you to look at the verse. Here's why I put it on the outline. Folks, we need to understand that that clearly is telling us that God's leadership was not limited to the time of the Exodus. It wasn't simply an historical fact. It is a present, ongoing reality. And in that present ongoing reality, one of the primary ways God provides that guidance, that leadership, shows us the best path, is through his word. And that could be as clear to us, folks, and as distinct and directive for our lives as any pillar of fire or any pillar of cloud. And that's why we read this. In the 119th Psalm, one of the most well-known psalms regarding God's word, it says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." And so God uses his word to guide us. But we need to understand the Bible is more than just simply a historical record of what happened in the past, what happened with the children of Israel, God's creation and his people. It also contains the teaching and the word of Jesus. And Jesus said this about himself. Most of you recognize it when I quote it. It's there on your outline. But Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." Now, let me give you an historical background you might not be aware of. Most of us know that verse, but do you know the historical background for that? It was the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus said that during the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, during the Feast of Tabernacles, what they did in the time of Jesus, they would light this massive menorah to commemorate God's leadership of the people of Israel by the pillar of fire. And so in essence, what Jesus was saying when he said, I'm the light of the world, Jesus was saying to the people, back then, God led your forefathers and mothers with a pillar of light. But now I've come to provide you with the same kind of leadership. And so in essence, what Jesus was saying to them and is saying to us by inference is that his life and teaching is our pillar of fire today. It is God's clear guidance for our life. So let's net it out, folks. So God's Word, the Old and New Testament, what's recorded in it is God speaks to us and leads us through it. And here's what I could say about that. After doing it now for 40 years of my life, I can tell you there's never been a single time when I have gone to God's Word, then gone with God's Word, that I've ever regretted it. Not once. But folks, when I haven't gone to God's Word, I've gone to God's Word and I haven't gone with it, I've always regretted it. Hasn't been an instant where I haven't regretted it. And here's the reason why. Because God's Word reveals ultimately and finally God's moral will for us. God's moral will for us, his, if you will, his shoulds and should nots, his do's and don'ts. And 95% of God's will for your life and mine is found and based and rooted in God's moral will. So if you're struggling with whether God wants you to do something or not do something, and it goes against God's word, you can stop struggling because God's already spoken. God's already revealed his will to you, and we need to receive it. Let me give you the second pillar. The second pillar, present-day pillar God uses to guide us just as clearly and distinctly as he did the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire for the children of Israel, is the pillar of prayer. The pillar of prayer. And let me just define this. Excuse me. And let's just be clear that we understand what prayer is. Prayer is simply talking to God as if we're talking to a friend. And the reason I say that is because what that means is it involves both speaking and listening. See, prayer is not to be a monologue where I simply come to God and I say, God, I need this and I want this and please do that. In Jesus' name, amen, and I walk away. Prayer is to be a dialogue, not a monologue. And in that dialogue, folks, we are to tune in. Part of what we do, we are to present our needs to God. Scripture's clear about that. But in addition, we are to tune in to all that God is and all that God wants to say to us about our lives and circumstances and his will. Because by doing that, when we make that time to not just talk to God, but listen to God, we gain insight into his direction for our life and his purpose for our life. And that's why we read this. We read, be still and know that I am God. And I want you to underline that word, be still, because it's an important word. In the Hebrew, it actually means let go, cease, and be quiet. Let go, cease, and be quiet. In other words, what it's trying to say to us when the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God, what we're really trying to, God is saying to us is you need to slow down long enough and listen long enough to hear what God has to say to us. And that's why the psalmist said this. He said, I pray, and underline this, and wait for what he'll say and do. Because the reality is for most of us, and I could be guilty of this at times as well, I can pray and run off. But the psalmist says, pray and wait for what God will say and do. So here's a question I want to ask you is, as you say, you know what, I wish God would give me the direct leadership in my life, the clear direct leadership in my life, like he did for the children of Israel with the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. Then let me ask you this question. Ask yourself this question. Are you consistently quieting yourself before God in prayer and listening? Are you consistently quieting yourself before God and listening? Because if you're not, if we're not, then we need to acknowledge the fact that we are ignoring and not using one of the primary ways that God chooses to lead us in present day. But let me give you a third pillar. The third pillar for you and I is godly counsel. Godly counsel. And let me explain that, folks. There are people in your life, I hope there are people in your life, I promise you there are people in this church, people in this community, who have walked with God long enough and have studied God's word intensely enough and deeply enough and passionately enough that those two things in their life have come together in such a way to form a very rare commodity. And that rare commodity is wisdom. Godly wisdom. And folks, what we need to understand is God chooses to use those wise, godly men and women in our lives, in our community, to speak to us at times. Which is why he directs us over and over and over again in his word, particularly the wisdom literature, to seek out godly counselors. And I want to just share with you four examples, all from the book of Proverbs. If you don't know what the book of Proverbs is, to me, it is the ultimate wisdom book in the Bible. And I'm going to just give you four random examples of God, through his biblical writers, telling us to seek counsel. Take a look at the first one. It says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." The next verse says, "Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success." The third, "Get all the advice and instruction you can so that you'll be wise and the rest of your life." And then finally, "Plans succeed through good counsel." And so again, clearly, over and over again in God's word, he directs us, he tells us to seek godly counsel. But with that said, let me give you a very practical insight that I think is important, a practical step that you need to recognize when it comes to seeking godly counsel, using this pillar of godly counsel, and that is this, folks. More often than not, you will need to seek out multiple godly counselors in your life. In other words, it's not one-stop shopping. There's no one I'm aware of that has all the wisdom you need for all the areas of your life. Does that make sense? So in other words, a good person, a wise person says, you know, I'm going to go to this man to seek godly counsel about how to honor God with my finances. And then I'm going to go to this woman and I'm going to seek counsel about how to live with integrity in the workplace. Then I'm going to go to this man or this woman and say, you know what, give me wisdom about training up a child in the way they should go, raising children in a way that are God-honoring. We need to go to multiple counselors in our lives. There's just not one man, one woman in our life, however wise, however godly, that has all the answers. And with that, I just want to say this as well. When God leads you to a godly counselor, God intends that information, if you will, that counsel to be informative, not normative. And what I mean by that is we ought to listen. We ought to take the information they share, and we ought to prayerfully, thoughtfully consider it. It is not, when they speak, the voice of God himself. They are not speaking as the voice of God. They're simply being used by God to bring leadership into your life. Does that make sense? And so we need to seek multiple godly counselors, and I know for some of us that seems overwhelming, and so the temptation is that I'm not going to do it. That's too much to take on. That's too much work, or it's too overwhelming. It's too frightening to kind of make an ask of that many people. But I want to tell you, if you truly are identifying a godly man or woman to provide godly counsel, I can almost guarantee you that if they can, their bias is going to be say yes to you. In other words, I cannot imagine you going to someone or me going to someone who is truly a godly man, godly woman, and saying something like this: I'm facing a really big, major decision in my life right now, and I'm really sensing the need for some godly counsel. So would you have 30, 40 minutes that I could sit down with you and buy you a cup of coffee and ask you some questions? I promise not to waste your time. I'm going to come with written out questions, and I'll be concise and I'll be on that. But would you have 30, 40 minutes to just sit down to me and offer me some counsel? I promise you, I don't know a single godly man or woman, if they could do it, would turn down that request. Instead, they would say something like this to you: I would be honored. I'd be happy to do that for you. If you think God can use me to help you discern where he's leading you, I'd be happy to do that. And so the third present-day pillar for you and me is godly counsel. Wise men and women God has already has in many of our lives to help us discern through his word, through prayer, his leading in our life. Let me give you the fourth pillar. And this is the pillar of the Holy Spirit's promptings. The Holy Spirit's promptings. And here what we're talking about are those times in life when we're reading the Bible And we, or maybe praying, and we sense the Holy Spirit impressing something upon us, to do something, to not do something. Or at times we're just going through the routine of our day, we're just doing life, and suddenly out of the blue, unexpectedly, we just sense the Holy Spirit pressing upon us to make a call, to call somebody, to write a note, to just stop and pray for someone. It's just those moments in the time when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us and guide us. And what we need to understand, if for a follower of Jesus, that those times ought to be a normal part of our life. They ought not to be something that's extraordinary. And the reason I say that is because Jesus said very clearly, as the end of his time on earth was coming to an end, when he was finishing up his earthly ministry, getting ready to return to the Father in heaven, he said to his closest followers, his closest friends, these words. He said, "I tell you the truth, it is good that I am going away. For unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Let me paraphrase that. Jesus is basically saying, guys, listen, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you alone. For I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And believe it or not, guys, it is better for you to have the Holy Spirit with you than it is for you to have me with you. And the reason Jesus said that to them, and it blew their minds, it popped breakers, but the reason he said that was because he said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And the word he used in the Greek was the paraclete. And what that literally means is the one called alongside, the one who walks alongside. And so what Jesus was saying is he was sending the one who would come alongside us, walk alongside us through life, and help us know the way to go. He would lead us. And that's why Paul said this. He said, since we are living by the Spirit, if we're a follower of Jesus, if we're a Christian, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And again, I don't know where you're at in your journey. I don't know where you are in your church experience. Some of us hear that, and it seems to be incredibly mystical. It seems to be incredibly mysterious to follow the Spirit's leading. But folks, it really is simple. Following the Spirit leading, it practically just means you and I allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to do things or say things that God wants to use in our lives to direct us or to redirect us or perhaps to direct or redirect someone else. It's just the Spirit impressing on us to do something or not do something, to say something or not say something. And the question I know you need to ask, and I want to make sure I clarify, is, Jerry, okay, fair enough. The fourth pillar is Holy Spirit's prompting, but how do I know I'm being prompted by the Holy Spirit? Right? Fair question. How do I know I'm being prompted by the Holy Spirit and it's not just my own feelings, my own thoughts, or worst case scenario, you know, just indigestion from last night's pizza? How do I know it's actually the Holy Spirit prompting me? And I'm going to give you three questions you need to ask. And really, this applies to almost all the other ones, but specifically when it comes to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, three questions you need to ask, and maybe you want to write these down, but the first question is this: does the prompting reflect the truth of the Bible? Does the prompting reflect the truth of the Bible? Because here's the reason I say that, because the Holy Spirit, we're told very clearly, is the one that inspired the writers of the Bible. And so the Holy Spirit would not tell us to do something, prompt us to do something that violates what he inspire the authors of the Bible to write. God will not contradict himself. The Holy Spirit will not contradict himself. So the first question to ask when it comes to the sense of prompting is, does it reflect the truth of the Bible? The second question is this: would following this prompting express love for God and for others? Would following this prompting express love for God and for others? Because the reality is, I promise you, if you're feeling prompted or sensing a prompting to do something, say something that's not true, that's not helpful, and especially not loving, then you can know for certain it is not from the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus himself said, all the law and the prophets are summed in this: love God, love others. And let me give you a third question. The third question is this: do I already know what God wants me to do? Or do I already know what God doesn't want me to do? Because in that case, what the prompting is God confirming what he already said to you through his word, through godly counsel, or perhaps through prayer. God often uses Holy Spirit promptings as a way of confirming a direction for us. So the third question is, do I already know? Because God's word's clear about it. Do I already know? Because God, in prayer, God's made it very, very clear to me what I need to do or not do. And so God's just using Holy Spirit prompting to kind of keep me moving in the right direction. Having said that, let me tell you this little secret about Holy Spirit promptings. The more you and I obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the more God will use them to lead us and to guide us. Well, that leads me to the fifth and final pillar, present day pillar that God uses today, just as surely as he did back then, of a cloud and a fire, is this: God directed circumstances. And I put it at the end for a reason, folks, because of all the pillars, this is the one that, if I would say, for lack of a better word, is the most dicey, most easily to confuse ourselves with. But having said that, I also want to say this. But if we're honest, for most of us, it's the pillar we choose to go to first, right? And let me just ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. If you ever said something like this, and I'm not saying exactly this, you ever said something like this: God, if you want me to take the job, then have them call me by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And they call. And so what do? It's a sign from God. Or they don't call. And what do you say? It's a sign from God. Or have you ever done this? God, if you want me to buy the new truck, let it still be on the lot tomorrow. And after you scour the lot, surprise, surprise, it's there. So you take it as a sign from God. You get my point, folks? We've all done it, if we're honest, or at least we've been tempted to do it. And we laugh about it, but here's where it gets tricky. If we're honest, here's where it gets tricky, and more importantly, where we get biblical. At times, God does use circumstances to lead us. At times, God does orchestrate circumstance in your life in order to get us moving or keep us moving in a particular direction. Let me give you one biblical example of this, a scene from the book of Acts. I want to read it quickly. I'm past my time, but let me just read it quickly. It says, next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the border of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. Now, I want us to, I think you caught it, but let's just make sure we realize what Luke is telling us there in verse 6 and verse 7. He said, first of all, he says the Holy Spirit prevented them, kept them from preaching in the province of Asia. And then later on, he said the Holy Spirit did not allow them to go through the area. Clearly, in this situation, Luke is telling us that the Spirit of God is leading. What I find is interesting, he never tells us how exactly God did that. Was the road closed? Was the weather bad? Was in prayer God said something to one or both of them? He doesn't tell us what happened, but he clearly tells us how Silas and Paul interpreted it, didn't he? He says they very clearly believed that God was using those circumstances to lead them. And folks, because we serve an unchanging God, he can and at times does the very same thing for us. But having said that, we need to be very, very, very careful when it comes to circumstances. Because the reality is, I hope you understand this, and I hope I understand this, there are many open doors that God never opened. And there are many coincidences that are just that, coincidences. God did not orchestrate them. And so we cannot see every opportunity, every open door is a clear sign from God that that is what he wants us to do. And having said that, I want to go one step further, folks, and we need to be extra, extra, extra careful. Did I put enough extras in there? Extra careful when it comes to circumstances related to what we already want to do. Because when we begin to deal with something we already want to be God's will for our life, and our tendency is to interpret every single circumstance and open door as God leading us to do the very thing that we want to do. Does that make sense? And we've all done it. Which is why, once again, we need to test every circumstance with three questions. Let me give them to you quickly. First, and this is always the case, Is anything about the circumstance that violates God's word? Because if it is, it is not God's will. Second, do we sense any dis-ease, uncomfortableness when we pray about it? Because if we do, it's the Holy Spirit convicting. It's the Holy Spirit guiding. And third, are godly counselors in your life warning against the circumstances, against this action, against this direction? Because if a circumstance violates any one of those three, we need to be very, very cautious about seeing it as God's leadership. And it violates test number one, lining up with God's word. We can know definitively that circumstance, that open door, that opportunity is not God's leadership in our life. So folks, let's add it all up. I've really said all that to say this. So God, in his great love and unchanging nature, gives us his word to lead us. Then he invites you and I in dialogue with him to discern his will and to understand and hear his voice. Then he provides three godly counselors in your life and mine to help us understand his word and prayer. And then in his greatness and his goodness, he sent the Holy Spirit to walk alongside us and guide us. And finally, at times, God uses circumstances to direct our path. Do you know what I'm saying, don't you? Pillar after pillar after pillar after pillar. Just like with the children of Israel. They're different pillars. But God, once again, is clearly guiding his people. You know why? Because God wants to guide us and lead us far more than most of us give him credit for. And even more troubling, God wants to guide us and direct us even more than some of us are willing to allow him to do it in our lives. But my suggestion to you this morning is God's leadership is there for us. We just need to first see it, and then we need to follow it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for being our unchanging God. And so we can say to you today, thank you for your leadership in our life. For Father, I could honestly say before you and among my friends here this morning, my brothers and sisters, both in the building and online, that Father, I have never, ever suffered when I've gone to your word and then gone with your word. But Father, the number of times I've suffered setbacks and pain and unnecessary difficulties because I ignored it are too numerous to count. But Father, I've never suffered from its absence. For it's always been there. And it's always burned as bright as a pillar of fire at night and as clear as a pillar of cloud by day. Because in your grace and your mercy, you surround us, you surround me, you surround your people with your directional leadership. So today, Father, I simply ask you, in your grace and in your mercy, help us to recognize that leadership. And then give us the courage and the passion to follow it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, I want to invite you to take that gray connection card out once again online. You will find that in the chat window there. But in context of what Jerry has talked to us about today from God's Word, the best way to live out those pillars is in small groups. And so I want to direct your attention there this morning. There's several listed in the bulletin. I believe there might be some information online as well at the website. But that's the best way to live out those five pillars. And it is not too late to join a Wednesday night group. And so I want to direct your attention there. On the back of the card, there's a spot there. It says that you would like information on small groups. And so you could check that box this morning. We'll reach out to you and give you more information about those that you're interested in, or maybe give you some options and ideas. But we'd love to be able to do that. You can do that online as well this morning. If that box is not available, just write us a quick note, and we would love to reach out to you. you. Also, maybe you're just still kind of trying to figure all this out. Maybe you want to know more about Jesus and you want to ask some questions. Well, we have a great class that's also available for you to be able to do that. And it is it's Pastor Jerry's class that he began last week. He said it's not too late to join that class. It's called Starting Point. It's not in your bulletin, but that is a great place to ask those questions, to find out more about Jesus and this relationship that we're talking about. So we would love for you to be a part of those. You can drop that gray card in the box at the back of the room. Online, just hit that submit button as well. And of course, as part of our worship, giving is part of that. Thank you so much for your generosity. If you would like to give your tithes and offerings today, you can do that. There's envelopes in the pew in the back of the pew in front of you. Online, there'll be a link in the chat window as well. And lastly, I just want to invite you once again to come out this evening to the church picnic. It is at Lancaster County, it's the Lancaster County Park. There's information there in your bulletin. There's the address there. If you want some more information, I'll be out in the lobby, and I can give you better directions if you want that as well. But you can plug that in your GPS. Just be sure, if you would, please, to bring a cold dish and a dessert, and don't forget your lawn chair. But we're going to have some games despite the rain. We'll pray that it passes and comes back later or something, all right? But please come out. That's today, 4 to 8 p.m. at Lancaster County Park. I'd love to see you guys there. So have a great rest of your day. Thank you.